I got it.
Yeah.
All right. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Yeah? All right. It's a good cold morning. Or cold morning. Cold. It was a good cold morning. Woke up this morning, and it looked like it snowed everywhere. Did anybody notice that? I checked the weather and some things, and they were actually saying that it did snow. Did y'all know that? It was a light dusting is what they called it. I don't know. I guess that's all we get in Texas, but it was beautiful this morning, whether it was frost or whatever. But it's been a nice, cold day. I like it cold. So y'all ready to get into this? Y'all ready to get cozy and hear a good word? Maybe. I don't know. Come on. All right. Hopefully this works like it's supposed to. I'm not used to using this all the time. Here we go. I want to talk about being rooted and grounded in love tonight. Rooted and grounded in love. I feel like we hear a lot about love. Being Christians, that's kind of what we talk about a lot. I mean, Jesus is love, and he showed his love to us and so forth. We're supposed to love one another, and we hear it a lot, but do we really understand what that means? Do we really understand what kind of love we're supposed to love with? You know, we hear things like, I love pizza. Well, what does that mean? You love pizza. And then you say, well, I love my wife. So you love your wife like you love pizza? I don't know. Something to think about. We do throw that word around a lot, love. And even our society, you know, our country, love this and love that and love wins, and they don't even know what they're saying. So we need to understand, if we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love, then what is it? What does it look like? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. And this kind of starts right in the middle of this verse. I tried to find a good place to start, and I'd have to read like the whole chapter, so I just kind of... If it sounds like it starts in a funny spot, it does. So Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm going to tell you what, guys, I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. Yeah. Not just part of him, not just a little bit, not just sometimes. I want to be filled with the fullness of God all the time. Yeah. And it's available for us. Good. So let's look at this. It's kind of where I want to start is God's love for us. God's love for us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. I want you to think about that, guys. If he loved us first, chances are we didn't love him to begin with. We didn't at all. And if we look at the world, guys, the world after Adam and Eve, they didn't love God. They didn't love nobody. But yet while the world was sent in turmoil and sent to just chaos, he says, I loved you. And he loves us still today. We see John 3:16, for God so loved. We know that scripture. For God so loved the world. Right? We see God extending his love toward us. God is always extending his love toward us. He's always abounding toward us, even when we were not. Romans 5, verses 5 and 8. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. And then it goes down to verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, God is pouring out his love on us. He continues to pour out his love on us. Have you ever thought about it this way? When Jesus died, he knew that there would be some that would reject him, and he did it anyways. And he still loved those that rejected him. Right? He poured it all out for them. So here's the deal, guys. God's love should never be in question. God's love should never be in question. Even though we do, even though we hear people that do, you know, if you talk to atheists a lot, if you ever know much about atheists, a lot of atheists are just mad at God. They're just mad at God. They feel like he let me down. He doesn't love me like he claims to love me. But in reality, guys, God's love should never be in question. It should never be in question. Now, our love for him, that's a different story. You know, trials and temptations and just things of life come against us a lot of times. And a lot of times, guys, the enemy, he does throw things at us. Not always. I think we give him way too much credit, but that's just me. The devil ain't everywhere. He can't be everywhere. Now, maybe a demon or one of his minions is. But the point is, there could be things that are coming against you. And here's the deal. Why do you think those things happen? Why do you think we have hard times in life? Why do you think that things don't go the way we want it to go all the time? Could it be that the enemy's trying to get you to question God's love? You think about when someone has a tragedy, what do you hear too many times? If God loved me, why did he let this happen? Yeah. I've even seen people that just didn't get what they wanted. Well, if God really loved me, if he really cared, he would have got me that, or he would have done this for me. I mean, am I off base here? No. Right? So here's the deal. The devil's always trying to get us to question God's love. If you have a question in your heart about God's love, and you're tempted to say, God, if you love me, you better stop right there. You better stop right there. Right? And you better recognize real quick, that's the enemy. He's coming in. He's trying to confuse me. He's trying to twist things. He's trying to get me to question God. So here's the deal. Our love for God. Our love for God. We know God loves us, but what about our love for God? Luke chapter 10, very familiar scripture. Luke 10, 25, this is the story of the Good Samaritan. One of my favorite stories ever. Jesus tells this incredible story, and a lot of people read that story and they get out of it that we're to be good to those that are in need. And you know what? You can get that out of that story. I'm okay with that, but if you really study that story out, Jesus is telling about himself. And what he's telling the people is if you want to have eternal life, you have to love the Good Samaritan. You have to love the Good Samaritan. And guess who that is? He says, it's me. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that. Right? So that's what the story's about. But check this out. I'm not going to teach on that today. I want to pull out a little bit here and read a very familiar scripture to you guys that I bet you everybody in here has heard multiple times. But we're going to look at it a little different today. Luke chapter 10, 25 through 27. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. So we get this. Love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, your strength. Really what he's saying is, love God with all that you are. Right? We could even go into the teaching about spirit, soul, and body. And we could get into that, that's our full being, and our full being is, you know, to love God. Well, I could go into that, but we're not going to do that. But you kind of get the picture. He's talking about your complete being, loving God. Here's the deal, though. Jesus gave the lawyers an impossible task. Impossible. And I'm going to show you why. fallen man could never love God because of the disconnect from the very image of God. And he says, hey, if you want eternal life, you need to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all that you are. And then what do they do? Oh, we can do that. Well, really? They were that twisted. They were that messed up to think that they could love God the way that God wanted us to love him. Let's follow this train of thought. God is love, right? Y'all read that scripture. God is love. If God is love, listen, mankind was made in the image of God. If God is love, then mankind was made in the image of love. Right? Mankind is made in the image of love. During the fall, we lost the ability to love as God had intended. And love became perverted and twisted. Just read the Old Testament. It's terrible. You think about it. They fall. They sin. Adam and Eve sin. God comes down in the garden. And immediately, what is Adam doing? Blaming his wife. How is that love? Not love. Then she's blaming, and they're running from God. They're hiding from God. They're hiding from love because guess what happened? They got disconnected from love. All of a sudden, they didn't know what love was. Then love comes down, and they're like, what is this? Pretty messed up, isn't it? And then all through, from Adam even till now, lost man, fallen man, tries to love, and they don't know how. They twist it. They pervert it. They make it something that it's not. And for a lost man, a fallen man, to try to love God, it just doesn't measure up. It just doesn't happen. And they try really hard. Even David, King David, who was a man after God's own heart, he just couldn't fully love God like he wanted to. And you know what's cool about David? I think David saw what was coming. He just never could partake in it like we can because Jesus hadn't come. Listen, God's desire is to reproduce himself into each one of you. Reproduce himself back into each one of you. Because listen, we lost the image. Now he has to reproduce his image back into you and me. The message of the cross is fulfilled when mankind is restored back into the image of God. Did you catch that? The message of the cross is fulfilled when mankind is restored back into the image of God. Or you could even say into the image of love. Right? We think the goal is heaven. It's not. Now listen, if you're born again, yeah, you will get to go to heaven, but that's not the goal of the gospel. It is transformation to take you back from fallen man and recreate you back into the image so that you can properly display love. Yes? In order for anyone to love God with all they are, they must be born again, restored back to the original picture. They have to be born again. Then it goes right into, and this is the thing that the lawyers hated, but it went into love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. At the end of the story, Jesus asked them, who was the neighbor? They wouldn't even say this man. They just said the guy that was nice to him. They just kind of, that guy. Because they want to be nice to those who are nice to them, but they didn't want to be nice to those who are not nice to them. Right? Well, let's look at this. Because the image of God is restored in us at salvation, we can love others as Christ loves us. Amen? Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 10. Owe no man or owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit a murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. We all know the Ten Commandments. We grew up with them. The world knows the Ten Commandments. They don't understand the Ten Commandments. They don't understand what they were for. If you look at the Ten Commandments, half of them are for God and half of them are for man. Half of them is how we treat God. Half of them is how we treat each other. Right? Do you see that in there, how it does that? I mean, no false idol before. Don't have an image or an idol before you that you worship. Right? I don't even think it's right for us to have an idol that we think looks like God and worship that. I don't like that because we're the image of God. But that's all. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But here's the deal. From Adam to Moses, there was no written law. Right? So what did God say? Love me and love your neighbor. Could they do it? They didn't even get close. Right? Matter of fact, from Adam to Noah, it got so bad, it says that God was sorry he even made mankind. And then comes the flood, right? Wipes them all out, starts over. Then it gets from Noah to Moses, right? And it's not working again. You know, they went through the desert and God was supernaturally, by grace, providing for them. Their clothes wouldn't wear out. He was providing food and water for them, and they still didn't get it. And God said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Come on, Moses, come up on the mountain. And he gives him the Ten Commandments, right? And the second time he went and got them, because y'all remember he comes down, breaks them, goes back and gets another one. He comes down and basically says, hey, this is the covenant. Can you do it? And they said, oh, yeah, we can do it. We can do it. Well, what was it about? Loving God and loving people. But here's the deal. The law made them do it. If you don't, what's going to happen? Curses, punishment, right? Disease. If you don't do this, the same diseases that I put on Egypt, they're going to come on you, right? So they serve God out of what? Fear. If I don't, I'm in trouble. But here's the deal. Have their heart changed? No. Their heart didn't change at all. They were still twisted. They still didn't know how to love. They were still broken. And they served God out of obligation. And some of them really did try to love God with all that they were, but they always come up short. Right? That's just what happened. And from Moses until Jesus, that was the story. Keep the law or be punished. Keep the law or sickness will come upon you. Keep the law or God's wrath will come. That don't sound too good. I don't really like that. I'm glad we don't live under that anymore. But listen, Jesus comes, and what does Jesus do? He keeps the law perfectly. He loved God, and he loved man perfectly. Never broke that law. Kept it exactly like he was supposed to. Then we know he goes to the cross, and he's the perfect sacrifice. Perfect sacrifice. And yes, he is dying for our sins. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. It's much more than that. Much more than that. You know, he was beaten beyond recognition. Why? Because mankind was unrecognizable. Unrecognizable. And he took our place in that way so that we could look like him. Amen? So, let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, I'm going to tell you, First John is a tough book. It is tough. There's some hard things that are said in here, but it's the Word, and we need to understand it. First John chapter 4, verse 7. We're going to read 7 through 12, and then we'll jump to 20. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now here's the deal about that. You've got to understand this. If you don't know what love is, you could actually be operating in something you think is love and say, well, I know God. And I'm not trying to get all political in this, but how many homosexuals say, oh, I'm a Christian and I love God and I love my partner. It's twisted, it's perverted, it's not God's love. I don't care how they slice it, it's not. Right? A man that says, well, I'm in love with her, but I'm married to her, but I'm going to leave you to go because I love her. That's not the kind of love he's talking about. He's talking about God's kind of love right here. God's kind of love. So everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. What happens when we get born again? He comes inside of, he abides in us. Amen? If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God from whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. The next time you have a hard time loving someone, you need to ask Jesus if he ever had a hard time loving you. I've had a hard time loving people. Don't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's right. But guess what? Through salvation, I have the love of Christ in me. I'm rooted and grounded in something. It's amazing how so many Christians are looking for love, and it's like a dog chasing its tail, because they are love. They've become the very thing that they're looking for, and they don't even know it. Yeah. Just being plain. And we're always, well, I need this, and I need you to pray for me. I need that, and I want that, and nobody loves me. And no, you are love. Why are you seeking for something that you are? Why are you seeking for something that you're supposed to be becoming? It's because we're deceived. And we got to be careful, guys. We got to be careful because the world is crafty. And there's a way that seems right unto man. And the way that seems right unto man, a lot of times we hear this philosophy and, oh, this program or that program or this person will pray for me or that person and then I'll get loved or then I'll get accepted. No, guys, you are love. You are the image of God. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And don't say, well, I don't feel like love. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. The feelings you were born with are not the feelings God gave you. You got those from Adam. You received those through the fall. And you were taught a way that was not God's way. And if you don't get to know him, you can never purge those out and get the feelings and emotions that God intended you to have. And what we do a lot of times, we say, well, God gave me these emotions. God made me this way. No, he did not. You got that through Adam. And if it don't look like Jesus, you got it from Adam. And we've got to purge it out through intimacy with him. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. We've got to purge that stuff out. Because we've got too many Christians that are looking for love. And they are love. And it's a lie from the enemy. It's a trick to get them off path. It's a trick to get them off mission. Sorry, I may be a little much for a Wednesday night. I don't know. Love yourself. Love yourself. You can get in trouble with this one. You got to explain this out. Love yourself. Right? This doesn't mean that you go stand in front of the mirror and you're like, ooh, look at me. I am the stuff. Right? Yeah, when I was in high school and I'd get in there and spike my little hair in the front and put some foo-foo juice on and be like, woo, I am the stuff. Yeah, somebody needs to come share some Jesus with me, probably. But that's not what this is talking about, loving yourself. This is talking about loving ourselves in a very healthy way. And in Luke 10:27, he tells us, he says, you know, love God with all that you are, but hey, check it out, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's interesting, too, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, it's talking about marriage. It says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Well, what if you don't love yourself? Probably not going to treat your wife very well. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Why would you hate or dislike something that God loves? You look in the mirror and start putting yourself down, calling yourself a loser. You're hating on what God loves. Now, you might not have been perfected yet into what he wants you to be yet, but still, he loves you where you're at, right? And he's moving you along through that, transforming you through intimacy with him, going from glory to glory. But we will oftentimes look at ourselves and we'll hate ourselves. Now, I can kind of understand this because I've done this, and I'm not saying this is right either, but sometimes I look in the mirror and I see Adam. I see fallen that I haven't quite rooted out yet. And I can see people maybe mistakenly hating that part in them. But we need to be careful with that as well, because sometimes we focus on who we're not instead of focus on who he's made us. Amen? So don't hate what God loves. He loves you. Zephaniah 3:17, I love this scripture. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. And he will rejoice over you with singing. Why would God sing over you if he didn't love you? Why would he even do that? He loves you. He loves you right where you are. Right where you are. And he don't intend you to stay there. He loves you enough to teach you, train you, love you, and grow you. People say life's a grind. They hate their life. Life is not a grind. Life is a gift. It's a gift. Do you go through hard things? Yes. People say, oh, life's a grind. You know, we may use a few other choice words. Guys, we've been given this gift of life so the world can see him in us. You've been given the gift of life so that they can see him in you. Why would we say that life's a grind and life's this and life's terrible and hate our own lives? You've got an opportunity to shine. Listen, one of the things that we need to learn how to do as believers is when we look in the mirror, we need to love God in us. When we look in the mirror, we need to love who God has made us. When we look in the mirror, we need to love who God is making us become. We need to declare over ourselves what he sees instead of what we see sometimes. And you know what? I don't love the old me, but I love the new me. Amen? And some of us need to look in the mirror and quit focusing on what you're not and focusing on who you are and what he's made you. Amen. Listen, the key in this is intimacy. Intimacy. Intimacy, I like this. I heard it said that intimacy means into me you see. Into me you see. That you go with God and you are vulnerable and you say, "You whatever, come on in. I'm holding nothing back. I'm not hiding, trying to hide anything from you." Right? Because you know what's really cool with God? God wants to be intimate with you. He's not holding anything back. We think he is. Now, he's not just going to dump everything on you. Right? I mean, we couldn't handle that. Just all of a sudden, this is who I am. Whoa! He's going to reveal that a little bit at a time. It's called a relationship. Intimacy. And listen, we have to be careful about even Christianity. If you think about sometimes the way we present the gospel, we need to be careful, because some people say, hey, if you say this prayer, you'll get to go to heaven. Just think about this. How selfish is that? How selfish is that? It's self-preservation. And if we're not careful, we don't teach people right, like what they're doing with the prayer. The prayer is not what's saving me. It's my confession, right? Am I believing? And what we've done in America is really bad about this, guys. We teach a needs-driven gospel. And we get people born again, but they never are transformed. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? If you become a Christian just for you, you'll miss transformation. We have to be careful with that. Right? We have to be careful with how we present it. Listen, we are not Christians for what we can get. We're Christians for his great name. And if we're not careful, because listen, this is why I'm telling you this. This is where a trap lies in there. It goes back to this love thing. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need this, and I need you to do that. And then he doesn't come through the way you want him to. Well, and what do people do? Well, God, you don't love me. Where were you, God? It's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. What does he say in the scripture? He says, deny yourself, pick up your and follow. That's the gospel, right? And when that happens, this is what happens. When you deny yourself, pick up the cross, follow him, and intimacy happens, you become love. Because why? It's like Wi-Fi. Everybody enjoys Wi-Fi. Yeah, we're in there. Oh, my phone. I don't have to pay minutes because they got free Wi-Fi. But what happens when the router goes down? You know, it's really crazy. At my house, when the router's down, you can still see your little bars, but there's no internet coming. And I'm like, it should be working. Well, then you go to the router, and the little yellow light, you're just like, oh, make it work. Unplug the router, right? Try to fix this. It doesn't work out too well. You know, a fallen person, a person that's not born again, they're disconnected from the internet. They're not broadcasting the right signal. It's not happening. And no matter how hard they try, and no matter how much you look at something and say, well, I'm getting a signal, you're really getting nothing. You're really getting nothing. But when I become a Christian for his great name and I get to know him, he transforms me back into the original picture, back into the image of love. Guess what? I start transmitting the right signal. You catch what I'm saying? And instead of us coming to church and going, well, nobody loves me. No, this should be the most loving church there ever is because you're here. Amen? Instead of us getting in, well, God didn't meet my need. It's not about that. It's about me shining for him. It's amazing. He says, seek first the kingdom And all these things will be added. If we're not careful, we'll teach, seek first all these things because Jesus is really cool and he'll get you a lot of stuff. And we don't want to do that ever. But you know what I found out when I'm intimate with him? You know, I need a new car, Lord, but I'm just going to be humble about it. I'm not going to be greedy. And all of a sudden, God's like, I know you need that. I'm taking care of that. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to worry about that. God, we need to make mortgages. It's not happening. You know this. I know you know this, Lord. We're talking about this. Help me have peace. Help me have, guess what happens? He provides for you, right? And what do? We owe no man anything but to love. We display the kingdom where we go, right? And then what happens when things don't go our way? What happens? That's not God. I know that's not God because I know him. I know him. And yeah, I may have had my heart set on this happening and it didn't happen the way I thought it was supposed to happen. But that wasn't God. He doesn't steal from me. He doesn't take from me. He doesn't ruin my life. God loves me. He loves me with no conditions. And because he loves me, when I have intimacy with him, he transforms me into his image so that I can do what? I can love you and I can love him no matter what happens in life. You hear what I'm saying? There's too many people. I've been in ministry for, this is my 22nd year. Been in ministry since I was 18. I've seen more people leave the church because they got mad at God because they didn't get what they want than any other reason. They got offended at God because God didn't get them that new car. And it's a deception. We're not here for a new car. We're here for his great name. Amen? That's what we're here for. And I can promise you, if you will press into him and get intimate with him, he will be intimate with you. And you will be transformed from glory to glory. You will look like him, right? You will become the very thing that you were disconnected to in the fall. You'll become love. You hear what I'm saying? That's how we're different from the world. It's how we're different. We can give them the very thing that they desire, which is love, the thing they've been disconnected to. We say, hey, let me turn the router back on for you. His name is Jesus. Amen? You got to stand on your feet. I can tell you right now, God wants nothing more than for you to know him. That's what he wants. And he wants to reproduce himself in you. So that you look like him. So when the wind comes and the rain comes, you're on the rock. Amen? That's what he wants. Does he want bad things to happen to us? Absolutely not. Will he get you through it? Absolutely. Absolutely. He will. He is our rock and he is our shield. Amen? But I'm telling you tonight, guys, that if you're looking for love and you're a believer, stop looking for love. Because you need to just look like this. Amen? You need to turn your focus this way. You need to take what God has put inside of you and give it away. And give it away because he's a well that never runs dry. We look at people, guys. We look to people and we want people to love us. But too many times we say, well, my dad never loved me and it's broken me and this, I was divorced here. But listen, what you're doing is you're drinking from a dry cup. And you think if they just, no. You're drinking from a dry cup. You need to drink from the well. Jesus said, what? If you drink the water that I give, you'll never thirst. You will never thirst. A lot of us are thirsty because we've been drinking from a dry well. Let's don't be accused of that as God's people. right? We want that river to be flowing out of us to other people, right? We want that love to, so that they will see God in you. Because listen, your life's not a grind, it's a gift. It's a gift. And I promise you, people are watching and they're seeing God in you. They are. Amen.